So we're holding, I guess, Daf Gimel in the one that I have, in the print that I have. It's Yud Beis. So basically we have this interaction of the Seichel Neshama with the Seichel Neshama that are trying, the Seichel is, the Neshama is seeking to understand, the Seichel is teaching it. Yud Beis. Amma Seichel. Ach mashe tzorach levari shayna hu inyan mitzius ha'adam. We need to understand, man, what is it? Vavoda mutelus olav, and what is he there for? In other words, what is the function of man exactly in the Bria? Ladas ma otasa nizvichozeis. Now, one small word of, I guess, one caveat. Now that we have Windows and computers for the last, 18 years, the idea of opening up one window and another window and another window and another window and another window, we used to. The Ramchal over here, it's going to do that. He's going to start something, then he'll ask me a question and say, well, for that we need to introduce something else, and then in order to understand this point we need to introduce something else. It's going to be like a series of a lot of open windows, and that's why it's kind of hard to follow, but each piece in itself has can be understood. So the first thing he says, and I guess the Seichel is saying something here. If you want to see, if you want to understand something, you need to start with the tachlis. What is it? You know, if I had to ask you, how does a car work? I first need to define what is the car. It's a vehicle for taking people from place to place. So now I can start describing everything around that. How this process is optimized through the vehicle, through the car. So he says, Amma Seichel. Amma Shama Zevari Yin Shavaksh Yun Harbel Avina Burkholoko. You certainly need to understand this well. Yudal Amma Seichel. Hayesoid Arishan Shal of Aymikala Binyanhu, Sherotza Harotzin Ha Elyon, She Odom Mashmes Atzmoy Veskola Nivro Bishvili. Now, he's saying a mouthful here, even though it sounds kind of trite, but there's really a mouthful being said. He said, so we ask ourselves, what is Adam? What is it? And almost as a corollary, what is his purpose? What's his avodah? The two come together. So he says, in other words, man is almost the only creation that can make itself. But you want to move in a job so we don't disturb them. Just move the table forward. Man is the creation that is mashlim himself, which is kind of and almost it's a paradox. You can't, if something is not finished, how can it finish itself? It's like what Chazal said, "Tzasasuya." But man is that. In a certain sense, it's Tzelem Elokim, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only entity that is not made by the outside. So Adam is going to create himself, which means that he comes to the world an unfinished product. Let's take a simple example. This was a machlokas of an apikoros of a min and Rabbi Akiva. Famous, the min asked Rabbi Akiva, who's superior? Adam or Maisa Adam, Maisa Kadosh Baruch Hu? So she said, Maisa Kadosh Baruch Hu. So she said, so how come he needs to make a bris milah? You're telling me that man has been, man has not been perfected, because he's born in a way that is not perfect. So the answer is yes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man with something to be finished. I want to just bring in a fascinating parallel. I read this when I was growing up in school. This was considered a very important classic book. It was, I think, Vance Packard. I think it was called The Naked Ape, if I'm not mistaken.
The Naked Ape?
I think so. It was about human beings advertising. It was a sociology, kind of. It was understanding people's motivations and stuff like that. And I think, and it spoke a lot about how advertising latches onto weak points in a person's, in people's needs. It was all about, it was kind of seminal understanding how to sell products. So one example that really stuck in mind was the cake mix. That they came out with cake mixes. So I think we spoke about it in the show once.
More than once.
They would sell cake mixes, and they had it down to all you need to do is add water and bake. And it did not sell well. Or not as well as they expected it. At some point, the recipe called for adding eggs and water and the powder, and that sold a lot better, which is almost counterintuitive. You're buying the mix to make life easier, so why would you? So if I can do with adding egg, the reason was because people are buying cake mixes as opposed to cakes, wanted to serve something homemade. And their sense of homemade was heightened if they had to add eggs and water. So they felt the powder is just kind of a siyuah ba'alma, but not really. And in other words, people wanted to feel part of the process, and therefore they obviously wanted to save time. I mean, that's the reason why, and effort. But at the end of the day, they need to feel part of it. Man is created a chasa, and he's a mashemes atzmoi. Veskol hanivra bishvilo, and everything that was created for him as well. There's a lashon chazal, ma kodesh baruch hu yachid, af tzadikim, I think it says yachid, or Yaakov is yachid, ma kodesh baruch hu bore olamos, tzadikim or Yaakov, I don't remember which one it says, is bore olamos. In other words, man also is the one who takes the bria with him. This is an extraordinary dimension that's not spoken enough about. It's parallel. It's parallel to the physical activities of people. Every animal has its own little shtetl. And a lion deals with lions. It deals with antelopes and gazelles. And that's about it. It doesn't have interactions with other animals, except it's either the animals that it eats, or the animals that eat them, or the fellow lions and cubs. That's it. That's his world. It's a small circle. Man makes use of every element in the bria. There's nothing in the bria that physically man doesn't harness, conquer, work with, work against. Everything interacts with everything. Ruchnius is the same. Man's tachlis includes an interaction with every element of the bria. That's what man is. And the mela, he is mashed himself and the bria. Musa Zasharim says it, he brings it down over here, that when he speaks his akdama, what's man's purpose in the world, not akdama and aleph, he says to be mis'anig an HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hashem, to be mizdabek, and finally, he says to be ma'ala, the entire world with him. In other words, if the person does right, he brings everything along with him, and that's really man's charge. You see it in the psukim. I mean, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Adam, he said, "Vayir HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'tzalmo." HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave man the shulchan on the entire world. So on the physical level it's true. On the ruchnistic level it's true. When a person does good things with elements of the bria, they get the same ilui that he gets. And it's the hashlama of himself and the bria that becomes his char and his shlemus. Schusoi, it's a schus. לפי שנמצא שהוא מסעסק ויגיע להסיק השמס הזה, it's chalked up to his credit that because he's working to attain it. וכששיגהו יננה רק מיגיע כפה חול כמולה, and when he actually has it, he's enjoying the fruit of his own labor. שחרוי שסייף סייף הוא יהיה מושלם ויהיה מסעניק בטויבה לנצל סוף. Let's compare it to something. Let's say I work in a factory manufacturing tables. So I make tables, I make nice tables, sell them. So the table is not my schar, it's the money that I make selling the tables. And there's a satisfaction that I'm able to make money in this house. I need a table, I buy tables. So I have the table that I need. I don't have the tainu of the enjoyment of it, of having the the tainu. But let's say I'm a type of person that makes my own table. I'm kind of a handy guy. I need a table, I make my own table. So the making of the table becomes both the sense of hashlam in myself and the hanah of having the table. In Olam Haba, the enjoyment that we have of the things that we've done is twofold. It's the thing that itself that's done. A maisa mitzvah in Olam Haba is a real entity, not different than something in this world. And I'm the one who made it. So it's to my schus, it's chalked up to my merit, and I'm also enjoying it. I can get to Olam Haba, because it's Olam Haba, but I can get in on the Cheshmer HaKlal. So I might have the oneg of it, but I don't have the schus of it, and it's a terrible feeling to live off somebody forever. Masha Ein Kain, when I did it, so the eventual schar includes both elements. The thing that I've accomplished, I learned, or I gave tzedakah, whatever it is, it's going to include that, and it's going to include the finished product and the work that went into it are both chalked up for me.
You say that it's more comparable to the Duncan Hines muscle, or it's more comparable to making a cake from scratch?
It's made cake from scratch. In other words, in as much as Kadosh Baruch Hu allowed us to do these things, we're able to do them on our own, and we are and to have the sense of having done it on our own. The hardships that we have in doing a mitzvah is more and more a sense of it being our own. Something that's hard is it means that we did it.
They say, "Yolei Hashem, Ozro Yolei."
Correct. At the end of the day, we can't get carried away. We need to understand the Malkut Ozro. But the level of tzar, the level of difficulty that we have, determines how much of it is our effort. Like the cake, it's the amount of extra effort that I need that goes into doing it.
Before, I don't know if it was a correct deer for just Rebbe said, man is almost the only bria that makes itself.
I know. He's the only one, yes.
Chris also works with the people.
Yes. Very true. It's a Gemara, it's a halacha.
What
do you say? A person works with a different dikduk when he knows it's theirs. There's a chvivus, it says, Adam rotze bekav shalo, yose metisha shal chavero. It's a halacha that if somebody gave me tvua to guard, and the tvua is beginning to rot, I can't immediately exchange it, sell it off and exchange it for other tvua. I have to wait quite a while, because a person would rather enjoy his own than someone else's, even at a price, even at a premium.
It's a different thing. When you see the attitudes in the mix, the heat in the mix is not even for a kind of growth. It's your own.
Correct.
That's what you're going to get at the end of the day.
Correct. And that's what you have, for instance, you have mitzvah bo, yosef, vishlucho. The sense of self that is involved in a mitzvah is definitely significant. Correct. I mean, the self in that Kaddish Baruch Hu is another piece of the puzzle. That's something you have to work on later. But certainly this is the first stage. Aman Ishama, Ze Yesod Shekol Pinos Rabos. This is a Yesod that includes many, many elements in it. He says, so you've put down something which really leaves a lot of room for building stuff. Then I'll understand what you wanted to do. This is, by the way, a very typical problem in Ramchal. He says things like, I'll give you Marshall, like when you see a legal a law. And the law reads very formal and stiff as that. What the law really is the culmination of, well, what we don't want this to happen. We want to allow for this. We don't want this to happen. So how do we word something that would include this, exclude this, and be ambiguous about that? So when you read it, you don't know. It says, no, anyone parking here may be fined, this and that. Well, why may be fined? What are you trying to say with that? Why be parking here? Why not parking illegally? He's this statement that he said here is not the beginning, really. It's the end. He said, this is the pieces, so it stands on the following yisod. So he says, I know there's going to be a lot coming out of it.
I have a question about the previous point about somebody being moshed themselves and enjoying the pleasure of being moshed themselves. I thought Moshe the other day, there's kind of a story about a president, I think it was George Washington, who was asked a question and he didn't want to answer it dishonestly, so he sort of disappeared and he waited until the guest level was up. I've seen myself that it's inconceivable that a politician today would ever, you know, embarrass themselves by disappearing and not showing up until the person left their home. Like, you know, they just seem to be capable of lying with such comfort. And saying, like, what's happened to the world that people have lost that sense of accomplishment in the Shlemus itself? It seems like everything has become a topic to something else. There was a time when to be dishonest was so inconceivable that somebody with the position of prominence of the president would disappear for the rest of the meal. Where is it all gone? Where people are just sort of operating in this secondary world of morality where, you know, the real crime is getting caught and there's no sense of, like, there's a topic to Shlemos. That's supposed to be a title. That's what the Ramchal says. But people are into titles. And not into that.
For many reasons, the understanding of this world as a place of yigia rather than accomplishment. When we live, it really depends on our perspective. If we live in this world, let's give an example. If I have, take two scenes. One person is in a competition for lifting weights, and the guy before him has lifted something very heavy. He's going to strain and try to lift something heavier, and the coach tells him, you know, if you lift something heavier, you may bend your back out of shape and so on and so forth. His answer would be, what do I care? This is the competition. This is the moment, either I make it or break it. When he's training in the gym, the perspective that he's training, that I'm now engaged in training, says, if you lift up his weight now, you're going to be out of commission for months. It's a yotzeh sar b'fseido, and you're not going to do it. We tend to think part of the illusion of Ra, part of the false illusion is that this world is the be-it-all. So if I'm not sitting in the very, very mizrach, or my bank account doesn't have the largest amount of zeros after them, you know, then it's that I'm not there. But that's a perspective of olam of olam hazazeh as becoming the ikur. And we have to say to ourselves, This is not kavod. This is not wealth. This is only a process. And it's the gear that's going to count. It's the emes that's going to count. A person lies because the tachlis is so important to him. In other words, to live a life of truth versus getting this particular job covered, whatever it is, so it depends how you look at it. If you're looking at Olam Haba as the tachlis and this is just the training, so of course I wouldn't make that decision. But we've become very used to Olam Haba as being the be-all and the end-all. That's really down deep. You know, we pay lip service that Avada is an Olam Haba and it's Chayim Nesnet, but it's a very, very big difference.
It's a very different kind of pleasure. It is the pleasure that Olam Haba is talking about in the process.
He's talking about the pleasure plus love.
I don't understand that just that somebody would create a table, there'd be a certain pleasure in the accomplishment.
Yeah, but that's when I have the table, even when I know, so when I have the table, there's a twofold pleasure. There's the table and its use of a table, and it's the sense of me in the table. I think, if I misunderstood,
we were saying no, the pleasure,
that's minor, you know, but that pleasure. Let's give you, if I create a table, I know myself, if I create a table, I usually end up creating a half or a quarter of a table. Never make it to the end. So there's no pleasure in having sweated on each piece. The pleasure is when I have a table, it's also, you know, a sisi, you know, v'yodi sisi, I made it myself.
When Ramchal talks about the purpose of the world, l'sanik al Hashem, it does sound like Olam Haza also, no?
L'sanik al Hashem is an Olam Habadika type. It means the pleasure, the goal is not within the world that I experience. Let's say a person is zoche. If I'm zoche, like the Chinuch says about a kohen gadol in this world is already in that world. L'sanik al Hashem means I've touched that world. It's not a question of time. It happens to be that after 120 years we got a free ticket there, but the there exists. It's a question: am I connected to this world, or am I connected to the other world?
The famous Meister Ron Cutler, he says, you know, he suffers Mullen, and he says, I have a Haza.
Right. But it means that right now, when a person sits down and he's shakur learning, he's really touching base with a different world. That's shakur learning is not the physical out of this world. I can transcend this world, but that's what I'm doing. I'm transcending it.
You see, it's a piece that is a person has to live throughout their lives in this world, transcending this world constantly and on a regular
okay.
basis.
You're thinking of transcending as there. Transcending could be here. In other words, deep inside, just like when you have a child or an adult, has to make a decision between getting something because he cut a corner, he lied. There's a test. And he can get 100 or pass a grade, depending on the darga, by cheating. And he could not cheat and be truthful, be emes, and get a wretched grade, a miserable grade. What I'm trying to do is tap into the person and say the more external part of yourself senses the pleasure of, 100 and test, great kid, bright, brilliant. What I'm trying to do is no. That's illusory. That's chitzonius that comes and goes and that's gone. Tap into the part of yourself that emes. Emes is an eternal quality. You're right. In this world, it's not the ish emes that has more to eat. It's the mutzlach, not the emes. But that's a bubble, and it's kind of not the real world. The real world is something bigger. So the real world is inside of this world. So that's, yes, that is the path of the world, to see the emes.
And then you're going that way, like you're really living in Olam Haba.
Correct.
I think it's often the way we think of it sometimes, it's like Olam Haba is over there, it's far, when really we connect.
Correct. In a certain sense, again, we have a dung of it. When we buy a stock, we're really buying the anticipated future today. You know, when I buy a stock, I'm paying cash, and now. But the value of the stock is what the company is going to do tomorrow, not today. Technically, a stock's value is you cut the company up into pieces, and you know, you would sell it off now. But that value is not the real value. The real price of the stocks is the anticipated future. So that's what Olam Haba is. Olam Haba exists now, but it's an Olam Haba. It's beyond. It's further along.
It's Olam Haba that it's coming. It's not
correct.
Not
but right. But the it's beyond. It is beyond. But it's not. It's not like something outside. It's something here. It's a. Let's take some examples. Let's leave religion out a minute. If you're going to a restaurant and sort of a shoulder shoulder type setup, so you're looking at the food and seeing, is it good, is it not good, the ambience, the waiter, the this, that, that's what you're, that's a setup. Let's say you're meeting a potential donor who really, really could, you know, could inject serious money, and it's good. Do you notice the meal? So you're making sure that the meal has all the nice trappings, but it's nothing. You're not sitting and saying, you know, I wonder if they would have had mustard sauce on the chicken instead of, I don't know, whatever they have.
So he leaves though, right?
you know, it is not. It's like it's all about tachlis, and in the same setting, and your sense of what a fantastic lunch that was, when you come out and you can tell somebody it was a fantastic supper. The guy said, really? How did they do the chicken this time? He said, I don't know, but the guy walked out with a big smile and he said, you know, expect a new building on campus now. So lunch meant two separate things for the same two people. It's really our how it types the reality of the world.
I never understood this. Then why is there the lunch? Why does Baruch create this lunch?
Because really, that allows, that's the das of Adam. Our first avoda is with das, and das means the perception of things. In other words, the highest faculty of person is das, and his nisoyan is: do I look at things as they are? Do I look at things as they will be? You know, it's something. I can give you another example in chinuch, it's a struggle always between looking at what is and looking at what will be. So you take it, put one environment that looks great now, but what the environment is doing is not developing him, and he's not going to go far. But Mashenka and someplace else is looks. Let's say you take a kid who's not performing that well academically. Let's say his problem is he's not mature yet and not holding there yet, and he can't do it. So putting him in an environment that will force him, you may ratchet up his performance a few points, but basically he's not going to grow from it, and he'll be a resentful person that will leave it as soon as he can. The other person is the other setup is actually having the person, giving him the space, allowing him to go slowly, but when he catches on, he moves real quick. It's a very big nisayon. First of all, it's very hard to determine. That's the truth. You're talking about people, it's very hard to determine. But it's also something that you need to be able to make those decisions, because what you see in front of you versus what you understand as reality is the hardest struggle of a person. That's das in my perception of the things around me. How do I look at it?
There seems to be mixed messages that are delivered, because people talk about Judaism as a religion that doesn't eschew physicality, that embraces it, and we uphold physicality and things like that.
It depends on the teichen. If you know, it's not people. It's a misnomer. People, it doesn't mean that you that eat and drink like chaza, like your neighbor, but say a bracha and it's great. The mashal I always give you very many times is when you go to a wedding. So you ask yourself, if the chasen kala mechatanim are so happy, what do you need a suda for? What do you need to dress up for to have? The answer is no. It gives you the sense, when you have a fancy suit, a nice suit, and you have a lechayim and you dress nicely, it's a vehicle for expressing it extremely well. But at the same chasna, you have the parents of Chaskal sitting, and they're so full with joy, they barely eat something. They're and then you have people that come, you have the kids that hang on the bar to tank up in the bar. Or the people who come because it's a free dinner, you meet the nice people, and that's that. The question is what you do with it. You can eat a suit of Shabbos and you have a sense of being uplifted, like the whole suit is a ketimtza. It's a vehicle for something, and you can eat it like a chazan, say Shem Shabbos Kodesh. It's a content. It's the same thing. It's a struggle between chutz and pnim. Sheker is. Let's take the most powerful example. You can have a person who's an extremely a difficult person, dressed in a physical beauty, and now you or vice versa. And now your question is, how do you greet that person? How do you meet that person? What's your kasha? There was somebody once. I'm getting kind of off topic, but there was a boy in the mirror. Many years ago, a few decades ago, when I was still a younger man, he was a kid from a well-to-do home, liked the nicer things in life, with a heksha, of course, but the nice things in life appealed to him. He was kind of, money in there, kind of a silk-clad young man, sort of. And he comes to me once, he's dazzled. So he tells me a whole story that a group of friends took him out to the plaza for his birthday party, and in the corner there was a group of girls from Beis Yaakov, also having some sort of party, and some of that was prearranged that everybody left except for him and a certain girl. And they hit off, and he started describing her in terms like I guess he didn't feel inhibited, all about her physical looks and so on. And then all of a sudden, after a few sentences, he catches himself and he says, "Oh, and by the way, she's a fantastic balas chesed." So, how'd you notice? So what is it? We also, a person, I once heard from a Rebbetzin, so she was telling me about, there's a certain bacha there, at whatever, I don't know, she said, who's that bacha? He looked like a very, very hush of a bacha. He's tall, and he's dark, and he's handsome, and he's, this, trim. I said, okay, but that's the difference. The difference is, the ultimate test that starts from Das is how we teifa something. And if we teifa something mitzad, it's olam ha, mitzad is content, which will play out. The same person who's smiling now and sweet, when it comes to giving something of theirs and to be giving or selfish, where am I with that one? In other words, it's always the struggle between what's the goof, what's on the outside, and what's on the inside.
But it's a dangerous game, and in certain ways, we just seem to be blown out of proportion. I always think about this when I'm on campus, because this massive edifice, billions of dollars invested in something that's in very, very slight ways connected to reality, and otherwise people are there to make money, to have a good time. The overall zeitgeist of higher education is something that's completely connected, Torah connected, Emunah connected, Ruchnias
connected, reality, the real reality.
And you look at and they've got these $1 billion endowments, and we've got this little Schnook building, and we're struggling to cover the
$50,000.
I heard it's pretty nice.
So is it the gamble? I mean, the world is such that what's going on in South Sudan, what's going on in Syria, what's going on, there's a wholesale insanity, craziness, slaughter, unreality, and there's a few percentage points.
Well, I must say, universities are taking the lead news about South Sudan. They boycott Israel. That's a very important first step. They said it's a first step. So listen, they took high moral ground.
But what's the sense in a world?
Because anyone who's going to walk into the Mar building, anyone who's going to go to Mar is coming for one reason. There's a Drosh Haran in that he asks this question about. He says a Navi is supposed to speak. He's a speaker. Moshe Rabbeinu, Avikol Neviim, is kvad peh. Zaral Sfasayim. He's tongue tied. He can't say. How could you choose? He's like the last guy. You're looking for the government spokesman, and you pick the guy who stutters and doesn't know the language. It doesn't make any sense. The Ran's kasha. So the Drosh Haran says an extraordinary teretz. He says like this. our emuna is rests on the fact that our kids are going to come along and say, our parents and forefathers say, you know, we all, Moshe Rabbeinu came and everybody listened to him. And we will say, yes, he was a demagogue. All the nice Germans listened to Hitler. All of people were swayed by demagogues across history. So, kudos to Moshe Rabbeinu for his ability to hold a crowd, to sway a crowd. But all you see is Moshe Rabbeinu's great
charismatic.
The Torah says Moshe Rabbeinu could not talk to save his life. He was, and the only reason we listened to him must be because he carried the truth. There was no other reason to listen to him. That's what Ron says. People who are going to come to Yiddishkeit are going to have to do it because, you're right, they're going to see this is the emes. That's going to be the test for it.
And I guess each one of us has to, in our own way, struggle for emes because it's so hard. It's so easy to drop down.
Correct. And that's ultimately Adam's prime faculty is das, and the nisoyin in das is to always look at the content, at the substance, rather than the packaging. And that's very, very, very tough. But that's the real struggle of emes hasheka.
Even in our world, right? Even in the Orthodox world,
yes,
there are a lot of temptations, whether it has to do with feminism or it has to do with egalitarianism. I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about ideologically. It is very hard to maintain a certain stance towards issues that are part of our story. Again, whether it comes to egalitarianism or rights,
and
in certain ways, it's easier to be like urbane and inclusive. But then you start flirting with.
But that makes you, like we said before. That you can say you did something, you accomplished something. If everyone did it and you were swept up with everybody to do it, and it was attractive, then okay, what did you accomplish? Yeah, you is that, you know what? I was attracted to X, to Y, to Z. But I thought about it, and I forced myself to look at the emes, and I peeled off the top layer, and it doesn't. And you know what? And I have to market the emes, despite the fact that it's that
it's. But for a large percentage of the from world, that would happen.
Everybody, Kefi Erko, has his nisoyah. It's true. Listen, I remember when Orthodoxy was unappealing and then retreat and so on, and that's why when people point at the great numbers that we have today, I'm weary, because how many of those people really, if they're put in the room, think differently, but are swept along with a certain ruach.
You see now, you go to Lakewood, the muscle, the gosh, I have sometimes. I see like a huge parking lot, whatever, they play a lot, whatever. Thousands of kids, you think to myself, like, these kids individually making, eventually, they're making choices. No, they're part of a system.
Correct, and that's why it's illusory that this is solid. It's like, I'll give you a muscle, when you have a business, you walk in and you see somebody has this huge plant that stretches on a square block of Manhattan, and this and that, and you say, wow, what a great business. Your first question should be, how much of it is equity? How much of it is borrowed? You know, what am I seeing here, a bubble or a rock? And it's a world of difference in the two. If it's not solid, then what I see here is the bigger it is, the more dangerous it is. I'm scared stiff. The numbers that we have, 100,000 people coming to Daf HaYomi is fantastic. Is it built from the core up, or is it people just swept along with the system? And the answer is a combination of the two, always. But how much of it is rock solid and how much of it is the natural people like to be positive and successful feels is that? And that's and the test comes as soon as you take somebody out of the environment. How quickly do they lose everything? And if something happens and there's a turnabout, how quickly will it turn around?
Isn't Mamash like we're living through Mitzrayim? It's so much like Mitzrayim in so many ways. We're growing in numbers as a people and from people, but the Saviva is such a powerful. I'm
worried more than the Saviva internally. I mean, when I was growing up, Frumkeit doesn't retreat. No one was sitting in cold learning. Anyone who was in yeshiva, I looked at me in yeshiva, I walked in. Every American me in yeshiva was there despite his parents' wishes at best. And that was the reality of it. Nobody's parents want them sitting and learning. So everyone who was there, by hook or by crook, had needed to make some tough decisions, and it was something. When I walk in today, everybody who's there, almost everybody, except for a very small percentage, are there because their parents sent them there, or they couldn't get it in another place, or there's nothing to do, left nothing American to do for them. It's serious. You know, the reality is that's the system. So what am I looking at? It's Baruch Hashem.
What's the alternative? That's basically,
can we create Bachrim and light so on? Who in their own personal struggles have gained solidity, worked on themselves in ways that what they have about themselves is solid rather than simply a natural part of fitting and belonging.
But it seems like every effort is made to insulate people from anything that would test them.
Well, it can't be that every generation... When my oldest son got bar mitzvah, I said the following Joshua, and I don't think he understood what I was talking about, but I needed to say. I asked the first generation, Avraham Avinu says, Lech Lecha, leave and go for Japan. I said, the second door is there already. So what's their job? Is their job to stay in one place? That's called stagnation. Is their job to go someplace? Well, they're where they're supposed to be. So what's the next door? Lech Lecha is the most powerful statement ever made to a person. Go. You know, Mahal Chimeilu. So what's the second door? So my answer was, and I meant it to myself and my son. You know, I struggled to go to yeshiva and learn, and I had to keep asking myself, is this what I really want to do, and do I have the strength to do it? My son is born in a system that's almost impossible to do anything else, and whether he cares to learn or not care to learn. So I answered, it says by Yitzchak is that he redug. It says that the bearers of Avram got filled with silt. And they stuffed him with silt and sand and stuff, and he needed to redig them. But every person that has to deepen and redig the, you know, there's a truth in life when you're finding yourself and you come by mitzvah till you're about 20 or so, and you're working with your own leaders, with your own yitzhara, with your own issues. That's really a avodas, and you don't, nobody yashas a perfect personality. It's, you're always getting, so that's a avodas. That's what I felt. Yeah. But you know what? It does. I can't.
So we don't adopt this system off, you know, it's about the people's houses, you know. I feel like they want to get the sense that, you know, and they get the sense that the gospel is very good. I don't even know how, I haven't thought through yet.
I think it's a... Listen, I do believe at the end of the day what the product we're selling is fantastic. The fact that you need to gift wrap it really nicely, you know, it's annoying, but very few people are the Baal Nefesh. The Rambam says it's appropriate Grauman says it as a most appropriate thing to start at one age by giving candies, the next age at giving money, then giving kavod, and finally, if they're lucky, to get the lishma. I do obviously have greater sympathy when people push the pnimius, but at the end of the day, you can't. You have to, you know. It says by Yigzol Sechanis Miyada Mitzri that he stole the spear from the Mitzri. It's an expression used a lot in Sfarim when they. It's a possibility they use it a lot by to describe what we do by taking their shtick and using it. And there are, you know, it's, you have organizations that are very, very good at that. You know, they're like a front line when it comes to all the shtick and shtusim and this and that. And a lot of times it falls short on what they're, and on content. And then you have organizations that maybe try to be big clunky and heavy, and I don't know how many attract. I think at the end of the day we need to do both.
It's a fine line too. It's like, because you could go, I mean, it's a subtle thing how the message, meaning like,
distort the message itself.
Yeah, exactly. But if you're just trying to, like, we're trying to work against this tremendous irrational fear people have that still for the orthodoxy means you're abandoning the world. That's as opposed to like saying this is what it's all about, this great house. It's like a difference. One is counteracting a thing as opposed to,
correct,
if you keep the mess right, then
you need to. If you're confident, just like if you're selling, if a doctor is treating a kid, so he does all the shtick, you know, the shtick to get the kid to take the medicine, do what he has to do, or my kid, there was a famous child dentist in Yerushalayim, with all sorts of shtick, and the shtick is shtick, but you know, the kid needs it, and it's good for him, and some point he'll appreciate me that. I guess you need to be able to see what your comfort level is.
Their whole prisms are modern. Then you present them with something that has nuances of ilm habit.
Right. So it's a bridge. It's a bridge. It's hard. I grew up from. It's hard for me to look out of my little window. But it is a bridge. You go from A to B. It's just like NCSY. You know, they served as a phenomenal bridge by being able to tap into young people's what they're doing and what they need to do, and then move them forward a step and keep moving forward a step, despite the fact that, you know, it's looking backwards, it's kind of a lot of it was just and this, but it was the bridge, and every bridge is like that. It's going, it needs to have a little bit of both, and move people from one place to another place. There's no, you can't cold turkey people, you know, transition them from total chitzainus to total pnimius. It's not going to work. Okay. Because we sort of overran our time, but...
I think it's, if I remember from my memory bank, of course, it was totally unimportant. I think The Naked Ape was written by Desmond Morris, and it's more of an anthropological book, and The Hidden Persuaders, Vance Packer.
Hidden Persuaders, that's it. Hidden Persuaders, yes. Sorry, you're going to have to change that.
I didn't read either, but I remember the
Hidden Persuaders, yes. I remember the two books, The Hidden Persuaders, yes. Sorry, okay.